based on a true scary, contains adult themes, language, and all-around scary shit. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Based on a True Scary. I am your co-host, Trisha, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Jake. How are you doing?
I'm good, you know?
Feeling great?
Living life?
Yeah.
Well, after this movie, wow.
Oh, we can't get into it just yet.
All right.
But agreed. And this movie that we're talking about is the 1982 film The Entity, which was thrown our way by our lovely guest today. He is the jack of all trades at Full Moon Studios. Welcome, Brooks.
Hey, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here, and welcome to the Full Moon offices. We are doing this podcast live from our lovely offices here in Hollywood.
Oh, yay.
California.
I love this place. I came here once before. Man, I love Puppet Master.
Oh, yeah. You know? Well, it was great, you know, because we've known each other for a few years, and when you found out I was working here, you were just like kid in the candy store. You know, you're like,
game over.
Oh, my God, just please let me come over. Let me just do anything. And now here we are. We're getting ready. We are next week shooting your favorite guy, Blade. He's getting his own movie.
I'm super stoked about
He's fighting Nazi zombies right here in 1940s LA. And we'll be able to live. You'll be able to watch the whole film because, not to deviate too much, but all the films we're shooting this year, we're live streaming the entire shoot on deadly10.com. So once the cameras roll, you can tune in and watch us work all day long and
watch
grown men cry because we're getting underpaid. And tune in.
Well, I mean, this is quite the upgrade from recording in my living room.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to cover the AC so we don't hear it, but we stay cool at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's difficult. That's. No, this is, it's air conditioned. There's beautiful Puppet Master photos and promotional material. And the actual Puppet Master dolls are in here too. So
along with all the other movies too.
It is a perfect spooky vibe to get into this. Perfectly spooky movie.
I was just thinking about it. Jesus. This is going to be a... You picked one.
Oh, indeed we do. So we'll dive into the deets really quick and then we can get our thoughts on it. But it was directed by Sidney J. Fury, who did Superman IV, A Quest for Peace.
Oh, a guilty pleasure of mine.
Yeah, right?
And then the best Superman, in my opinion.
Really?
No.
I was going to say. And then he also did Iron Eagle, amongst a million other titles, but I just thought those were particularly hilarious for this film. Written by Frank D. Folletta, who actually wrote the novel that this film is based on. So he wrote the novel based on the true story, and then also wrote the screenplay.
A lot of layers there.
Yeah.
It's a movie based on a novel, based on a true story.
Yeah, yep. See, I didn't even know it was a novel to begin with. I thought it was a true story, documentation of it, and boom, there we go.
Well, yeah, it was double duty there. So the budget was $9 million. Box office grossed $13.3 million, so not a great return on that one.
They blew all their money
on
clearly
Barbara Hershey
on the boob shots.
Well,
with the
it looks like a ghost.
I think Stan Winston did those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, there wasn't a real ghost doing it. I imagine it was just a guy in a green screen doing this.
I thought it was a documentary at first. I mean, and I was like, wow, this really happened to Barbara Hershey. Because
that is not how you treat Barbara Hershey.
Because as a kid, that's how I knew about this movie was how you wanted to treat Barbara Hershey. Barbara Hershey's naked the whole movie. We got to see this.
So Rotten Tomatoes score was 64% critic, 60% audience. Metacritic gives it a 35%. So all over the board as far as acclaim.
Yeah.
Obviously rated R. 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Very long.
Felt it.
Very long.
Yeah.
Felt long.
Could have been shorter.
About 45 minutes shorter. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, 45 minutes shorter.
Yeah, it's very true. Speaking of true, the truth claim for this one, they leaned in pretty heavy. So all marketing and official marketing, the tagline was based on a true story, .. that isn't over yet, which very spooky. I definitely love that.
Yeah, that's good.
Exactly. And then the end card basically says the film that you've just witnessed is a fictionalized account of a true story which took place in Los Angeles. And it goes on from there. We don't need to read the whole thing. But they lean heavy on the true story-ness. So, yeah.
All right.
Apparently it's real. Let's get into our thoughts.
Yeah.
We've covered boobs. We will cover boobs again.
Oh, yeah. I'll bring up boobs again, for sure.
There's two of them, and they're impressive.
Yeah.
The Hershey heyday.
I know. She really sold this performance, I have to say. She did a great job.
She was good, yes. Well, let's get into the movie, right? Like,
We got single mom.
Single mom.
Really not selling being a single mom because her life looked absolutely terrible.
And also, like, I feel like the first half of the movie, you just heard about Jerry.
Oh, we didn't meet her boyfriend until
Jerry, do this. Jerry, do that. Jerry. But yeah, you didn't meet him. When you met him, not to jump forward, but when you met him,
he was a dick.
He is old as fuck.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he does not match her.
He's the guy from The Godfather.
I'm assuming that he was Git. I'm assuming he was.
He was.
I'm assuming he spent some money. I don't know who that actor was, but I should look, but I'm too lazy. But,
yeah, I'm thinking Godfather. I can't even picture the guy myself.
Oh, now I have to look.
Alex Rocco.
Oh, Alex Rocco. Yes, his name. See him everywhere.
So you hear a lot of Jerry, but man, it got into the action within five minutes.
So you're basically introduced to her. We're like single mom, two young kids, one older kid. So we're like, we're going to get into the story there eventually. But then just immediate ghost rape.
Oh, ghost rape. Yeah, because as a kid, this impressed me. I was like, oh, this is kind of like an Amblin, kind of Spielberg, you know, the family and the nice area and bad shit will happen. And then, like you say, you're settled in and you're like, okay, well, wait. Because usually rule of thumb is 20 minutes, then you get to it.
The good page stuff. Page 10 is
You know, I mean, I understand too. You want a good opening, suck your audience in right away, hook them. But usually it's a prologue. Somebody else went through something. But yeah, like you said, just, hey, this is the movie. Here's Barbara Hershey and ghost rape.
Ghost rape by the entity, which I feel like that's going to be hard to say throughout the entire episode. So let's give it a name. Let's give it a name. Let's call Anthony
Ghost Rape.
Steve. Steve? Yeah, Steve. So Steve, she was
the entity is Steve.
Ghost Rape by Steve.
I don't think I've ever known a good Steve. Oh, there's been a couple. But for the most part, Steve's are.
Yeah, I'm sure you have like an ex-boyfriend that you're connected to.
Somewhere hidden in your closet.
I don't have an ex named Steve.
So we get straight into the
straight
ghost rape.
Straight into the ghost rape.
Yeah, we know exactly what this movie is going to give us.
High octane.
Lived up to his advertising and promise, and boom.
And boom. Real quick, before the ghost rape happens, and you're introduced to her son Billy, who sweet Billy, he is in the garage, I think, and she's harping on him because he's not being a good, you know, sub father to the kids. She's like, you know, how can you hear me over this blasting music? He was very quietly listening to Saturday Night's All Right by Elton John. sort of plays it off like, you crazy kids and your rock music. I thought it was a very respectful volume level.
At the time, you know.
He was controversial.
That could be rocking out, or who knows, maybe he was rocking to something completely different and they're like, we couldn't get the rights to it.
Right. They wanted Sabbath, but they got
it. Oh my God. Cheap. Yes, that's what happened.
You know.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they had that great tempo music playing on set. And then when it comes time, you're like, who didn't clear that song?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
We get Elton over here.
Yeah. I have a note here. George demanding coffee. He's a dick.
Oh, same. So she goes. So Barbara Hershey, after Carla is her name in the film, after the first ghost rape, brings the family over to her friend Cindy's house. Cindy, by the way, loved Cindy.
Oh, yeah.
Cindy was great. Her husband, George, in my notes as well, George is a dick.
Yeah.
Just says that.
Yep.
So men are dicks so far in this film.
We often have just...
Does this film have an agenda?
Yeah, and the entity we're calling Steve.
Steve.
Should we change it to Carol?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Her friend was also very... she was very understanding about this whole Steve ghost rape thing.
Well, but at first she does tell her to go see a psychiatrist. I think she was being a good friend.
Maybe that's it. I don't,
trying to be supportive.
Yeah.
Was like, my friend's clearly having a hard time. I'm going to go sleep over at her place in adorable PJs.
Yes,
loved Cindy's PJs.
They slept in the same bed?
They slept in the same bed.
Of course. You want to look out for your friend.
And on Jerry, when they were talking about Jerry, she says, hell's bells, girl. Marry him and you'll be living on Easy Street.
Oh, God.
Which I had to write down because that is just a fantastic
line. That is
the
new woman's motto right there.
Yeah.
Hell's bells.
She sees the psychologist and guess what? He's a fucking dick.
Oh, the rape apologist?
Men are assholes is the underlying theme of the entity.
Yep.
Apparently so. Yeah, Dr. Snyderman, who is kind of a rape apologist in a lot of ways.
This movie was made in the 80s again, correct?
82.
I like so right early. Away he asks, did the ghost rape Steve ejaculate?
There were a lot of questions
ectoplasm
in that.
Ectoplasm. Where do you think it came from? They didn't have a name for it in 82. You know, ghost jizz isn't quite technical enough.
It's just not highbrow enough. Oh Dr. Snyder and
Full
obsessed.
Moon, yes, but 82, no. 20th century
ghost
Fox,
jizz. I like that. I mean, ghost I don't like jizz. Ghost jizz.
Well, what do you have to tell us?
Or jizz. Yeah. I want to clarify that.
Jake. That's not the point of this podcast.
Nope.
This is not your
run while you can, Trish. It's not too late. Get a new co-host.
Okay. We'll be holding auditions after this.
I'm available on Fridays.
All right.
Dr. Snyderman, played by Ron Silver, who he was from that, you remember that weird, rare as fuck Chuck Norris horror film, Silent Rage?
Oh my God, I've never seen that.
It's Chuck Norris did a horror film. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's very.
He never did anything like that.
Oh,
seriously?
Yeah.
A sort of off base for him, but Ron Silver was in that. Yeah. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's the weirdest Chuck Norris movie because it's billed as like he's Texas Ranger Chuck Norris, but he's up against this superhuman dude that can't be killed. God. Well, and Ron Silver is the doctor and. Yeah, if this isn't on your list, I'm shocked, and you need to leave the building now.
Yep. I can't believe I love Chuck Norris.
New co-host.
Seriously.
So she goes to visit Dr. Snyderman after, of course, she has this insane encounter with the entity in her car, kind of insinuating that the ghost is not only in the house but in the car, which, you know, gave me flashbacks.
That scene is good.
It was really good, and it gave me flashbacks to my commute, which I make every day. Oh, very God. Similar to that.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not traveling your road.
So after the Dr. Snyderman situation, that's when she goes home and takes a bath.
Yeah, bubble bath. Ooh, having no hair. Takes a bubble bath.
Yep.
Nothing else after that. Yeah. I just wrote down, takes a bubble bath.
Oh, because were you just horrified?
First time you see her boobs. That's why.
Thank you, Jake. As a kid, fast forwarding through this, I don't care about this ghost rave. This is weird. And stop.
You didn't take any notes because your hands were occupied, Jake? Is that
what you're... Yeah, I was at ectoplasm.
Yeah.
But that is the only time that her body is shown in a sensual way, I would say. Like, that's when you see, it's like, ooh,
no,
sexy
you're,
Barbara
yeah,
Hershey.
Yeah, it was
like,
the only time, yeah. I remember, again, I hate to go back, it's my horny little puberty child, but I was like, that was the only scene I was like, okay, cool. The rest of it, you're like, oh, no, there's nothing pleasant about this.
No.
I was not, it literally is like, I was surprised. I'm like, oh, she got naked. I didn't realize that she got naked in this movie. And then it gets worse.
Oh, yeah.
I have the word Jesus in all caps in my notes probably 50 times. Every rape scene was just Jesus.
Oh, yeah, the bathroom one. We'll get to it. But
that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep,
you can get right into it.
Yeah, again, Jake's catching up.
Can't stop thinking about
it. He's still on that Chuck Norris silent rage.
Boobies a butt.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I wrote, yeah, that's right, because my next note is this poor girl.
Holy fuck. I mean, the scene where her legs are like ripped to the outside of the door frame and then her face is in the shower curtain. It was,
it was a well done scene.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Sounds horrible.
No, but, but I agree. It was very
choreographed rape, ghost rape.
Yeah. I mean, just the shots and like, there's the one where you just see kind of her like butt kind of like moving in and out. And you're like, oh God, I know what's happening.
Well, again, when I revisit this movie years and years later, you watch and realize, yeah, these are all exploitive scenes per se, probably too many.
Right.
But at the end of the day, each one is so well done.
Yeah.
And that's what I really came away as an adult watching this movie was like, yeah, this is exploitation, but it's really well done if you stop and look. I mean, the brutality and the violence of these scenes, which aren't very quote unquote violent, blood and all this, but you're going through what you're looking at, what this woman's going through, and you already know rape's horrible bad, but the thought of this unseen force that can do whatever it wants, and obviously you're watching it do whatever it wants, that to me was like, whoa, this is legitimately a scary, very scary, very violent movie, and yet hats off to Barbara Hershey for going through all that.
I found it profoundly disturbing.
Well, it's,
I was not expecting this.
Well, as I was watching, I'm just like, oh, this is a weird, like, early, like, I can't think of the phrase, but like, to talk about the fact that, like, this is a topic now in 2019.
Right.
You know, like, this girl is getting raped and no one believes her.
There you go. It's the proof.
I know.
Like,
and she,
82 was the year.
And
know?
The whole time she's like, oh, who am I supposed to tell? Blah, blah, blah. Except she was very vocal all the time. She told everyone.
Was.
So she goes back to the psychologist.
And shows all of her bruises.
All her bruises, which he doesn't believe.
Yeah. And she's kind of like, there's no way I could have caused these. But Mr. Snyderman, rape apologist, is just like, it's because of your childhood or, you know,
and
whatever
Ron
he lays down.
Silver is an asshole.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Well, then it gets very, Ronnie gets very unprofessional and drives her home.
Oh, in my notes I wrote, he is deaf trying to bone her.
Yep.
Once he gets to the house, that there's this whole, can I take a look inside? And then once he's inside the house, he goes, you said something about the bedroom?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Snyderman.
Yep. And this is
put your dick back in your pants.
I think his issue is just jealousy with the ghost itself.
Oh, 100%. He kept telling her how intelligent she was. Mm-hmm. Oh, also when he was examining her bruises, I remember he goes, and you said something about the inner thigh as well. And then she's like, oh yeah. I don't know. It felt wildly inappropriate.
It's super inappropriate. But she did say, and I wrote this down, put me in your pocket and take me with you. which is
flirtation.
Wow. Which that was 80s flirtation for you. I mean, it was basically you can say whatever you want with clothing on, and it was just flirting.
That's true.
You're fine.
There were, you know, there was
cocaine's a hell of a drug back then.
Still is.
Yeah. Well, you know. Well, yeah. Not as good apparently.
Well, on that ride home, or it was either ride home or at the house. This movie got even darker.
When she talks about her past?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, she just straight up reveals father sexually abused her.
Well, that was a nice way. I put daddy touches her.
Daddy touches her.
Daddy issues.
It always comes back to daddy issues.
It always does. And I mean, so Snyderman thinks. And then she goes on, ran to New York City at the age of 16, got pregnant from Mario, who... While telling the story, Snyderman's like, did you like having sex with him?
God.
Asking a lot of questions about the sex with Mario.
Really a thorough doctor, you know.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah,
yes.
You know,
yes.
I mean, you want to make sure you know everything about your patient, you know, because you don't know the
especially at her house, you know.
Especially in her
bedroom.
House.
Yeah. I mean, if ghost rape's happening, I want to know where it's at. Where's the ectoplasm?
Who's been there first?
Next would have been the bathtub.
Why do you want to know where the ectoplasm is?
No, I'm saying Dr. Snyderman.
Oh, gotcha, me, gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not me. I already know too much about ectoplasm.
Moves on
sad
from
sad about
there.
My dating life.
So that was, Mario was Billy's dad, and then she met the much older Bob Garrett, who fathered her two daughters, but then he left. Yeah. So that was kind of her crazy backstory. But then there was that tender moment that she kind of has with him, saying that she really wants help. Right, she like gives herself up and is like, I need you to help me. But if we discover that this isn't me doing this, I need you to be by my side. Which, spoiler alert, he does not keep his promise.
No.
Men are evil.
Butt
men
face,
are evil.
Because the story of the entity is that men are evil.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the.
What happens next?
The GR, the ghost rape. Yeah, with
in
her
in front of her children,
with her boobs actually. Like,
we are not there yet.
One of the greatest.
I just
want to
talk about
effects.
It.
I know, we can talk about it.
I keep trying to like go. We had a whole conversation about how we want to stick to
the
story order.
Script.
Yeah. And man, no. I just want to jump to boobs constantly.
This is a movie in which, again, as I remember,
the story
as a
doesn't
kid,
really matter.
I remember this movie coming out. I remember it being billed and talked about. And this was the ghost rape movie of Barbara Hershey. That's how they billed it. That's how they sold it. That's how people went to see it. And they got a good horror movie out of it, but it was. Barbara Hershey's going to be naked, and you're going to see it.
That's what drew the 13.3 million.
Yep.
I mean, we can just talk about it. We'll get to it linearly.
But it is an impressive effect.
Yes. That is...
Okay, not to nerd out.
No, know that Sam Winston is at the helm.
Yes.
Like...
But how did they do it? Do we know? Did we look...
I believe it. She has a... It's a prosthetic body, and it's just her head that's positioned. So that's... Those scenes, it's not her body.
Yeah.
And so what I'm assuming is that there's like suction cups that are
It's almost like an inflatable balloon that they actually suck out the air.
Because it looks,
pockets.
I mean, it looks like
they
their
went
hands
to really
her breasts.
Good detail in her bush.
Oh, they did.
Oh, yeah.
They well, you have to, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the whole thing. Yeah. They have to merc in it.
Merkin or someone's plugging in little hairs one by one to exact fit.
That's the thing, yeah. And a prosthetic body that's a fake bush too.
Damn. Do you think I can buy that on eBay?
You know, somebody has that. Yeah. And I guarantee
the hair could still be there and probably some shitty latex, but...
Do you think
that's a real doll.
That they casted her body to
I'm assuming.
Mold that?
I'm assuming.
9 times out of 10, yes. In fact, we've casted boobs before here for effects. We actually, one of our new movies, plug, Necropolis Legion.
Ooh.
The character, the main witch, actually has fake tits or that have little teeth on them. Little mouths.
We call them the Lugalums.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. I'm not even going to try to say that word. I've been drinking way too much and I don't want to butcher it, but yeah.
Galugalums?
Galugalums. So, I made that word up.
Okay, great.
Yeah. It sounds like a joke word. Definitely.
By the way, just a quick whatever. I like to call butts back boobies.
Jesus Christ.
I won't argue that point.
Again,
that's a good terminology.
For new co-host immediately.
Oh, man.
So, well, the rape scene that we're actually at right now is not the...
We have picked the perfect movie for Jake.
How many times have we said the word rape, by the way?
A lot today.
The ghost rapes her in front of her children, which that was
And what's his
horrific.
Name? He tries to jump in and
Billy
gets thrown back.
Yeah, and
breaks
then
his
you
wrist.
See the zaps.
Yeah, now,
that's
now.
Where oh, the, oh,
that's where
God,
the
arc.
Apparition first appears, right? And manifests itself physically as we see those purple lightning bolts, basically. So
yeah,
that
classic 80s lightning effect that just was so great back then.
And then we move on to one of my favorite scenes in the film, which was the doctor interrogation scene and then the doctor discussion scene.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
Is this the scene where he's trying to get her to check herself to mental hospital? Or is it...
No, we're not there yet. So this is when she goes back and she's sitting with, you know, at that huge table filled with doctors outside of Dr.
Oh, right, 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 yeah, yeah.
And I gotta take better there's notes. The one woman that asks her the question, would it be a reflection on you as a woman if he left you?
Yes.
Damn!
Wow.
That is...
Definitely a product of its time in scripting.
It was crazy. But then, you know, so she gets uncomfortable and she leaves. And then there's the discussion with the doctors afterward, which I found to be hilarious. They were so sassy. They kept like talking about her ex-boyfriends and yelling at each other when they got the names wrong. And the one sassy doctor was just being a real pill. And it was fantastic.
Just really trying to blame everyone but the entity.
Oh, yeah. They say they're like... She's masturbating.
Yep.
That's what's happening.
That's some hardcore masturbating. And, you know, I'm sure Steve, the entity, is like, this is the greatest crime ever. No one believes me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're just going to blame the victim.
No, she's just masturbating.
Yeah. It's just vigorous masturbation, right. Throwing people around the room and masturbating so hard, you're producing purple lightning and strange effects.
I mean, teach me the way.
He found the G spot, and that's what happens.
Is that what happens when you find the G spot?
Yeah, one day you'll get there. Don't worry. Yeah.
But then she goes home. We finally see Jerry. That's when Jerry makes his first appearance.
Yeah.
Being a real dick, they have sex, whatever. It's fine. Which I'm kind of like, you're down to just...
ghost rape. I wouldn't be down for just sex.
And she was fine. She didn't let him in on really anything at that point. That was just when they had the moment at his place.
She's worried he'll leave her.
Right, because she's like, take me with you. Which he fucking does.
Yeah. Wah,
wah. The entity... Hating on men since 1982.
Yeah.
Yep. But Jerry was a dick. So she goes back to her place, which I'm like, fucking stay. Why did she go home? I guess she has kids. This is why you don't have kids.
She can't afford to move. That's what she said that one
point.
But
she could have. I mean, they had sex at his house. Why wouldn't she just spend the night there?
Which, by the way, I just assumed he lived with her.
But. Well, me too. I assumed they were at her place. They didn't really give. Right. It just cut to them post-coitus, like... talking about bullshit, whatever. Talking about ghost rape. Yep. So this is when she goes home, and this is when the boob scene happens, where she has the orgasm and then feels guilty about it. So let's talk about the parapsychologist, because that's really like where the movie gets meaty.
Yes.
That she runs into these parapsychologists at a bookstore.
Which is funny. It's a classic movie.
I was about to say, anytime you gotta have little Zeldy or whoever come in and do the rules. And they're the experts, and this is how you communicate with the ghosts, and we believe you.
And they're just being so open about, like, they're so loud about their crazy.
Oh yeah, the little Egon wannabe. The one guy looks so much like Egon from Ghostbusters, and then the other guy.
And she so confidently asks them to come over, and they are dicks. Believe it or not.
Men dicks in this movie?
Believe it or not.
But also, she's so fine with letting strange men into her bedroom. I mean, I guess...
Well, she's at this point, she'll take anything.
I remember thinking that too. Like, okay, even suspending movie logic and disbelief is like, you're very casual. But again, I'm getting ghost rape half every other night. So
let's just do real people.
At least them I can, you know, actually kill and take care of.
And then, so they go into her place and, I mean, they see shit, right? So they're like... Fuck yeah.
No, they straight up just shoot her down with everything.
Well, at first.
Right? Literally just like, oh, it's your bed shook? Like
an earthquake?
An earthquake?
You masturbated?
But I actually enjoy that part.
Like you masturbated?
Yeah. I enjoy that part because that's one of the most probably real parts that, like, actual ghost hunters, that's what they do. They're like...
Yeah, they've got to go and debunk. I mean, they have to... I watched Ghost Adventures, and so many times you realize, okay, it's TV. Some of this is produced. But they were actually at a house where the lady claiming all this crap clearly was faking it. Right, and they were able to more or less politely, but call her out. So again, like you say, you have to go in skeptical because any Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Charlatans.
Yeah, I mean, we can all go home and claim ghost rape later tonight and try to get some attention. But only in Jake's case would it be real.
Oh my God.
Ectoplasm everywhere.
Oh.
But then they see the mirror shaking.
The mirror shot. Love that shot.
That was very cool.
That is one of the cool shots. Mm-hmm. This movie has a lot of cool shots.
No. I mean, again, Sidney J, you know, B-movie guy, did a lot of stuff you've seen. But with this movie in particular, I love because I love horror movies of the 80s. Early 80s, 82, 85 was a great period. Because even the lowest budgeted horror movie just had a great professional look.
Yeah. He had such a style.
Yeah, such style. And you had filmmakers and you had these low budget movies where directors could push their style or invent new styles and deliver these things. And that was such a great period. And this entity is one of the great examples of that. And so many cool shots because, again, how many times can you shoot Ghost Rape? Yeah. Make it interesting.
No. Well, and I loved his style. There were so many moments where when two characters were talking, he would do kind of like the close-up of the one person's face, and then over the shoulder, there would be the second character. That was, I feel like that was sort of his thing in this film, but I thought it was very stylized and very beautiful. And the Ghost Rape was handled very well and effectively.
Well, and speaking of just 80s movie, this is a really well-shot movie.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
but then you have the arc scene, which is just terrible digital effects, because at the time, that's all they had. But then the green blob.
Yeah, that was a bit lackluster.
That was...
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I'm sure at the time...
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. We just talked about $9 million budget. That's still pretty low, even in 82. I mean, it's totally a healthy budget.
They were shooting on film.
Film, everything. Effects. Still, we are light years from CGI and all this stuff. So everything's very archaic, to say the best. It's well done, but you got to have the money. You got to be Lucas. Got to be ILM pulling that stuff off. And it's like you even said earlier in the top of the podcast, Stan Winston, he's becoming a name, but he isn't Stan Winston. You know, he doesn't have all that surplus.
But that's valid, yeah. But no, that so the green fog, that's the manifestation of the entity that we see when the parapsychologists are at Carla's house, which was pretty much, that's when they have their, like, what was her name? Dr. Cooley, the woman that came along with them. So then we have the evidence. And then, I mean, there's doctors fighting. Dr. Snyderman hates the parapsychologist. There's so much feuding. It's the, you know, science versus ghost theory. And then we get into the, you know, climax of the film, which is the recreated house in the high school gym.
With the, what was it? It was that great set. Liquid helium.
Right.
Yeah.
So the whole concept, right, is that these ghost hunters are going to catch the entity with liquid helium, and they recreate Carla's house in the middle of a high school gym, which is the weirdest fucking thing. But I mean...
Which is crazy because that's how they shot Evil Dead 2. They built the cabin in a high school gym. Yep. Shot the whole movie.
Oh, man.
And they luckily, they put a roof over the bathroom.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Was so funny because during all the madness, she happened to run in there, so they couldn't see her.
That scene, that's where I feel like the film...
This is where the film just...
It was a bit of a departure from the rest of the film.
Where we're just like, well, if they're tuning in this long, they don't care.
Right.
Who cares?
The studio had notes. And they're
the
like,
studio's like, end it now.
Yeah.
It just goes from this really creepy, like, intense film to like, what are you doing?
Liquid nitrogen? I have a note. Entity is seriously chasing her down with a liquid nitrogen gun right now. Yeah. Oh my God.
And that thing literally just was popping. It popped through the bathroom roof.
Yep.
That was
amazing. To me, it was a classic case of what a lot of movies tend to do. They build that nice, great slow burn. They rely on mood and shots and lighting and sound to create the scares and the vibe. And then someone says, no, we need to see something.
Yeah.
And then there's no money to see something good. So you get Steve's green fart fog.
That whole end scene, I instantly was like, this can't be the true part of the story. Right. Because who spends this much money recreating?
Exactly. Hold on.
What parapsychologist the fog was green? Has,
hold on. Yeah. What college is like, this department that we don't even really trust.
Yeah.
Like, we'll give you... $200,000 to do that.
Basketball game this weekend. We're going to simulate a ghost rape in the gym.
It makes so much more money.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't sell tickets. I mean, Barbara Hershey, everyone just, that's why there was no roof on the bathroom.
You get Dr. Snyderman and his boss that come in there. I mean, it just serves, it's just plot service, right? So it's that
they needed an ending.
They see that there's the entity.
That's it. It's
an end of movie. I don't know how the liquid nitrogen didn't kill Carla and Dr. Snyderman when it was falling on them. Yeah. But
and why
whatever.
Is he running in there? And clearly their whole little safeguard system fell broke right away.
Movie logic. It looks good. It's the ambiance. It's
and then that's
thing.
That's the fucking end. Well, except for the last scene, which
you're gonna say it.
I say it?
Yeah, you can absolutely say it.
She has a better voice.
It's true. She does.
Thank you, guys. Carla walks into the house after this whole debacle, and she hears the entity say, "Welcome home, cunt."
There it is.
Dum dum.
It's more like this. Welcome home, cunt. want.
And the C word to boot.
The C word to boot.
You didn't hear that in 82. You hear it
all
the day
now. I was just about to say.
You hear it all the day now. I mean, I'm just thinking how that term is like the worst word in the world. And now it's like everyday thing, but 82.
I mean, that was probably quite intense.
Well, we didn't talk about how the fact that the way she beat Steve, as I'm calling him.
But she didn't,
Well, she did. She said, you can't.
Have me?
You can't have me. I won't let you. And that was that whole scene where he's like, I'm, you know, welcome home, cunt. And she's like, cool. And opens
peace
the door.
Peace out, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Just try.
Right. So that actually, I kind of liked that ending.
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. And then you get the end card that basically said that, you know, they relocated to Texas, but the attacks decrease in frequency and intensity, but they still continue.
Wow.
On that note, let's get into the truth debunking. So, Brooks, how this works is that we're going to ask you questions about the film.
Awesome.
Details, what have you, and see if you think that they're true or not, and then we'll kind of tell you what's up.
Okay. Cool. This is the game show portion.
This is the game show
portion. What am I playing for today, everybody? No,
you will win more rosé.
Okay.
All right, so let's dig in here. Yeah, question time. We'll start pretty broad. So this film is about Carla Moran, right? Being ghost raped repeatedly. Do we think that there was a real life Carla Moran?
I would say there was probably a real life woman this is based on. You could probably say the names were changed for the innocence, as Dragnet used to always say. But yeah, I do remember that this was definitely based on a supposed real case of a woman who experienced these attacks.
Brooks, you got it. It is indeed true. It would be really funny, though. We keep saying this if the first question was, no, thank you, end of podcast.
Yeah.
And it's been real. Leave the office and leave the rosé.
Right, exactly. But no.
Leave the rosé.
Leave the rosé. Get the fuck out. Exactly. This is a true story. So
I got Steve coming over any minute.
Oh, boy.
A little bit.
Oh, Stevie. Stevie likes a rosé. So in 1974, there was a single mother named Doris Bither who moved her family from Santa Monica into a house at 11547 Braddock Drive in Culver City, California. So not too far from where we are sitting right now.
Not far at all.
Nope. And after moving into this house, she claimed that three different entities would attack her on a regular basis. Two of them were smaller. They would push her and hold her down, while the largest entity would repeatedly ghost rape her. I'm going to put the word ghost in front of the word.
I got a new term, ghost gang rape.
Oh.
Ghost gang rape. Yeah, that's...
Well, there was a gang raping going on.
It was just, one. Assisted ghost.
Oh, there you go.
Rape.
Yeah. Ghost Dutch Rudders.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, boy. So Doris claimed that these occurrences happened almost nightly.
I've been waiting all show to say that, Jake.
So yeah, this was true, and we will continue to dig into this, but yes, correct. This is all about Doris. So in the film, clearly she has children that witness the attacks and even get attacked. Do we think that in real life... that happened with Doris's children?
I would say exaggerated.
Oh,
interesting.
That is a really good answer.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a correct answer.
It is pretty much correct. Yeah.
Cause he claims that the son jumped in, but he didn't break his wrist.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So yes. So she was the mother to three sons and one young daughter. Brian Harris was the oldest son. So all the children claimed that they had seen Doris get attacked, and they even nicknamed the most prominent entity, Mr. Who's It?
Not Steve.
Not Steve. It was funny because when we were asking for a nickname, I almost said Mr. Who's It, but I'm like, damn it, Trisha, that's a spoiler. Yeah,
don't spoil the question.
Wait, I didn't read that. Culture. What?
Oh yeah. They called it Mr. Who's It. Was what they called
Jesus
the entity.
Christ. That like kind of just...
It's weird.
I'm sorry if I was a professional doctor and someone walks in and they're like...
You bonded with the entity on a more personal level, but on a first name.
This was the children. This was not Doris.
Oh, gotcha.
From my understanding. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see Doris being on a...
Mr. Who's It? That's not even clever, but whatever.
I mean, I don't get it either. But so Brian Harris, her oldest son, he claimed to, he actually spoke in an interview in 2009, and he said that because his bedroom was next door to his mom's, he would have to listen to the assaults. Yeah, which is upsetting. And then in a few cases, he actually saw her being beaten by an invisible force. I have a quote. It says, it was as if a man was standing in front of my mother and he would start to beat her. Imagine a woman being beaten. You could see her being picked up and thrown around, sound slaps, but there was nobody actually doing it. So that was what he said on record. And then Doris's neighbors also testified, saying that they saw figures moving inside the house.
No, it's not so funny anymore.
Yeah, I know the jokes are gonna stop.
At first, you can say what's Doris on, but man, what's the kid on? What are the neighbors on? But
well, that's what's so interesting about this case, and we'll get into it a little bit more. But parapsychologists find this to be the most insanely intense and like biggest evidence of paranormal activity.
That's what I remember too. That was kind of the besides her boobs, that was the tagline. This is the case. The Exorcist is that. This is real.
Right.
Yep. Boobs, Bush. Real case, gotcha.
That was Jake ranking which of those are most important.
The three B's, boobs, Bush, and boxers.
It's why I remember. It's not most important.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, what he remembers.
Yeah, that's why I remember.
Bush over real ghost proof.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Bush is just something you have to point out whenever there's a Bush.
Yeah.
You like a lady all naturel?
No, I didn't say that, but.
Yeah, you're going 70s on it?
You look like you have a Bush.
Yeah. Wow!
And this is where I drink the rosé. I know Jake well, I just met Trisha. I can't make those jokes quite
yet. Well, that stayed in the podcast.
Yeah. By the third podcast, I will be chiming in.
Brooks, have you noticed she hasn't denied it?
What's that?
You know, she hasn't denied it.
That's why I'm just sipping my wine and smiling. I'm like, hi, Jake, you can leave anytime.
I like to spice things up. Let's just say that. I don't think at any point in time you can pit, whatever. Okay, so let's move on.
Vajazzling's next week, everybody. Vajazzling.
Exactly. I like there to be variety. So, oh my God. Edit this out. Let's make a note, a timestamp note.
Just edit out and send me that copy, please, Jake.
Yeah.
I'm so uncomfortable.
I'm going to ghost rape myself.
This all the ghost rape and this makes you uncomfortable.
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. So the bruises, there was this, you know, huge moment where she goes into Dr. Snyderman's office. I'm so like upset right now. I can't even speak.
There's bruises
all over because Jake got
We're all becoming Ron Silver on the other end of these mics.
Do we think that Doris had unexplained bruising all over her?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I would say bruising marks, that's very common. I would believe that.
Yep. Yeah, she had nothing specific, but it was actually her son Brian, since he had that interview, that's where we get most of the information, but said that she had mysterious bruises and bite marks all over her body, including scarring in her inner thighs.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from like repetitive abuse.
Brawl.
I know.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. No bueno.
No bueno.
Moving on.
Could at least spot her a drink afterwards.
I know.
That's the main thing.
God, that was such an old man joke, Brooks.
I am true. I am the old man here. Yeah.
Make me a sandwich. Yeah.
You come here often. Ghost rape.
We know it.
This is Will Ferrell. Ghost rape.
I'm torn if our ranking system should be ghost at 0 out of 10 ghost rapes or 0 out of 10 Barbara Hershey's boobies.
All I know is the hashtags on this ghost rape hashtag, hashtag ghost rape should be the new
I really hope we can be able to trend ghost rape.
When this goes live, let me know. We will start that hashtag.
Trish is giving the look of disapproval.
Yeah, she's still wondering, like, they're like, talking about like, Bush earlier. Yeah.
I still
Bush.
Don't like that we're talking. Oh, my God.
She's still thinking about her Bush.
I'm sweating.
That's two of us.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes.
And that's why you bring Brooks in. Yeah. I've never met her before.
Define
it's okay.
Bush also. Okay, so anyways.
You really want us to define Bush?
No, I don't.
I'm shrubbery trying, outside your window.
Do you like how I'm just like pulling my dress down at this point? Oh my God. Okay, so in the film.
So what happens when you drink beer and rosé before the podcast? Yeah.
Right, I know. We're arguably too liquored up. So as this movie begins, we're sort of presented Carla as this innocent single mother who really has done nothing wrong, and these hauntings and ghost rapes happen out of nowhere. Do we think that this was true of Doris, that this just kind of happened completely randomly?
I would lean more on the false side on that, just because in the movie she already has a bit of a checkered past. Not checkered, but you know, a troubled past per se, not mm-hmm. well with relationships, father figures. So I would stand to say that would, again, be something maybe sanitized for the film to create an emotional connection for the audience with the character, because you obviously want to, ghost rape is horrible, but you got to feel something otherwise. You got to bond with your character. So I'd say, yeah, a lot of that was probably toned down. You got to make your people very cool for the audience.
You nailed it.
I know. It's almost like you work in film.
I want to make sure I was told by Jake, no research. I did absolutely nothing.
But it's true. The house that she lived in was condemned twice by the city.
Oh, wow.
Which, I mean, you know, from my perspective, if she was claiming those things and she lives in this like dump that's contaminated city, yeah, I wouldn't believe her, you know?
Well, that's just it. You know, yeah. You're trying to figure out, well, someone who can't move or needs help. So ghost rape, move me. Who knows?
Yep. And then she was also apparently addicted to alcohol. She was considered to be belligerent and abusive. She was unwilling to seek help about her addiction. So there are a lot of parapsychologists that believe, and this is where we get into like the theories of why she's getting haunted. So obviously take this all with a grain of salt, but parapsychologists believe that that contributed to the entities, that like her negative energy manifested itself into a poltergeist phenomenon. And then additionally, some of the stuff that I looked into stated that she got like super into seances and toying with dark magic on her Ouija board as a teen.
Ooh, Ouija
boards.
So that
was a big part of her upbringing. And then also when she first moved into the house, she claims that a strange Hispanic woman arrived at her door and told her that the house was bad and an evil dwelling. And then when she asked what she meant, the woman just ran away. So
it's probably interesting. Throw They're away her garbage. Science,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it makes sense. You know, I mean, I watch all these paranormal shows, Ghost Adventures, what have you. And there is a lot of the attachments, especially when you dabble with Ouija boards or
that's what they say.
You go
Kids,
and you try
don't
to
do it.
You try to do something you're not supposed to do and piss an entity off and boom, there you go. So yeah, I can see that happening, but all the other stuff could definitely lead. I've been around people who are a little in the head and some of it he can make up. But again, you just said poltergeist. A lot of that is drawn from such negativity, not even so right. much paranormal, just sadness, negativity in general. And that's what these guys say. That's what they feed on. That's their source of power. And that's where they start emanating from. So a lot of that, yeah, that makes sense.
Why'd you hint towards me when you said you know crazy people?
Have you looked at yourself lately, Jake?
Did say that I looked I had a bush.
Yeah. I remember Jake.
You're very concerned
Jake
about
so
this.
Long. I remember short hair, clean shaven, yeah, and well clothed, and now he's got the pentagram shirt.
Wait, you knew Jake when he was clean shaven?
Yeah. You didn't know me then. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's crazy.
I got a bush on my face right now.
Yeah.
You do have quite the bush
on
your face.
Is your bush this big? Or
that is a very robust bush. Yeah. I don't know if I could ever. Yeah. Moving on. So the paranormal investigators, our ragtag team of the Egon wannabe and other guy who I actually never caught their names, but whatever. Do we think that Doris encountered these paranormal investigators and they sort of investigated her case?
I'm going with, I would say, yes, she did encounter some investigators at some point, somehow.
Can I take this one?
Do you want to? This is a heavy one, and
I'll take the beginning part.
Okay.
Yeah.
The interaction between them?
Yep.
Fully true.
That meet cute that they had?
The bookstore, everything? True. Completely. Boom, boom. Yeah.
How insane is that?
I watched a documentary on this. And
oh, you did?
They had the guy who was, he wasn't at the store, but it was a different guy.
Dr. Barry Taft?
Yeah. So they, but yeah, it's true.
Interesting.
Yeah. Really, yeah. So after all our jokes about making fun of the
that scene
typical,
and how
yeah.
it was, you know? I know. Yeah.
It was hard not to say that while we were
I know,
we were
I was thinking about that too.
You did look like you're biting that tongue pretty viciously. Yeah. There.
So, yes, in August of 1974, Dr. Barry Taff, who was the name of the psychologist, he was a psychophysiologist, a biomedical engineer, and a world-renowned parapsychologist at UCLA. So he was with his assistant, Carrie Gaynor. And yeah, I mean, Doris essentially just overheard them talking in a bookstore and was like, yo, I'm getting haunted. Fucking help me out. So they agreed to look into her case. I know. They were like, let's check out this ghost rape. So they, among the numerous anomalies witnessed by Taff and the team were extreme temperature drops, repulsive smells of rotting flesh, strange lights, and then an almost full-bodied apparition.
Which they did a really bad job of showing in the movie.
Well, but I mean, honestly, so in the report, they said that it was a faint green mist and then erratically moving balls of light that coalesced into an upper torso of a human figure, which is kind of what they did.
No. I meant more when all of a sudden they were like, oh, what's that smell?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, I'm so cold.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like, and cute. And again, watching a lot of these ghost shows, those are very common things, temperature drops.
Right.
It's
paint by numbers ghost.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, here are the telltale signs and we'll repeat them and boom, there you go.
Yeah. So that, I mean, but they've sort of pulled somewhat. I mean, there was no purple lightning. That was never discussed.
Oh, I think that was, if you did an effects movie in the 80s, you had to have blue or purple
lightning.
That's
required. Yeah.
It's like now they have the purple ray from the sky.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So do we think there was a Dr. Snyderman? We know there were parapsychologists. Ooh. Was there this like psychiatrist who had a weird...
Clear crush.
A clear crush on her
jealous of the entity.
I'm going with fabrication on that one. Fabricated character.
Yep, that's straight movie magic.
Yeah, I mean, just because like I remember Ron Silver, and he's passed away, so I don't have to worry. But he was a great actor, great guy. But he was definitely one of those guys that was so typecast as that creepy dude. You know, Time Cop, he's a bad guy. Blue Steel, he's the bad guy. So yeah, you hate to think that there's someone really that creepy. And then as you're talking about, again, I never really stopped to think about how anti-men this movie really is.
It really is.
It's very,
very. I mean, yeah. My God,
there's not a good for the '80s. There's not a single good male character.
No,
in this movie.
No. Actually,
this
is, you know what?
The son.
The son is a good male character. Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's a kid, so.
So not yeah. Yeah. God, was this movie made in 20?
Yeah, hit puberty. Men are evil. If under puberty, yeah. You're fine.
I know, that's pretty crazy.
There's
but yeah.
No male white privilege in this movie.
No. So, okay, the car scene. That was kind of an intense car scene. Do we think that Doris got attacked in her car, or was the entity just sort of strapped to the house?
I would say
more strapped to the house.
Yeah. No, nothing about a car. Did you find anything about it? No?
No. Okay. It's so clearly just...
Yeah. That was just, plot.
Because if you think about it, it's the only time it happens outside a house.
Right.
You know?
Again, you can... Again, going back to all the shows I've watched... A lot of these things either happen at the place of, or if it's attached to you, it happens when you get home. Very rarely have I seen or heard of stuff going on. But again, it definitely makes it like, oh, we can only shoot so many rooms in this house. Oh, I have it on the car. Okay, cool. Write that.
Throw it in. Yep.
Yeah.
Boom.
Which is what they did. How about Jerry? So do we think that Doris had a boyfriend that was in and out during the times of these hauntings that maybe was an asshole and left her?
Oh, I say definitely.
I could not find anything about a boyfriend.
Really?
Did
yeah.
you?
No, I didn't find anything.
Yeah. Wow. I would say that would have been a...
He was just yet another man to hate. No, in the film.
Another plot.
It also proves our point that he was a catch. He was a...
It's Alex Rocco. So right, that, right. Right there.
Because the first half of the movie, she keeps saying his name. He always is in the other room.
But they only could have him on set for one day.
I think it was like, they got Alex Rocco, and he was like, I can do all my scenes quick.
And he was like, but I'm only doing this if I'm seeing Barbara Hershey naked, right? And they're exactly. Well, she's going to be in a prosthetic. And he was like, oh, I don't know.
Can I at least work a fake boob?
And he did.
Suction cup?
In that scene, as he's approaching her while that rape is happening, I kind of had this thought, is he going to like get in on it?
Dude, yes. Couldn't agree with
you
more.
Do you know what I mean? That was sort of how they presented that.
Well, and then he like, slammed a chair on her? We didn't even talk about that. He grabbed a chair and broke it over her.
I know. And then the son saw it and thought that he was assaulting her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I was going to say, remember, I kind of forgot that. Then when you brought it up, I'm like, oh, because it was like, maybe if I hit this invisible.
Which it just went through and hit her.
But he did awkwardly like jump on her. Like he was going to join in. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a moment where it seemed as though he was into it. So the fake house experiment, ridiculous, do we think that anything like that was constructed?
I would say any experimentation did not require building a fake house in a gym, but probably in a lab conducted somewhere professionally, even if that.
Yeah, that was 100% movie magic. That they just visibly saw stuff in the house, and that was
so
pretty
clear.
Much it.
Yeah.
Because there was no studio telling them to make their investigation more interesting.
Yeah, it's like, well, let's get out of the house by recreating the house in another environment entirely.
Yep.
Such an 80s move, too, to have, like, the arm breaking through and, like, follow. Like, that's such an 80s movie kind of situation.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is a movie. This and Poltergeist are, like, the predominant 80s haunted house ghost horror movie.
Oh, right, but right. Poltergeist is such a good movie.
Oh, well, Poltergeist, you more or less have the ghost director Spielberg working with Toby Hooper.
I know, let's be real, that's not a Toby Hooper movie. Yeah, I just was talking about this with somebody. I'm like, that's a Spielberg movie, that's not Toby Hooper.
Oh, yeah, but. No, clearly it's Spielberg saying, no one will let me do this for this price and won't take me seriously, so Toby, do you mind?
You liked Texas Chainsaw, I'm just going to throw your name on this,
name
and I'm going to, yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll let you do a few things while I go over and work on this, but for the most part. But yeah, these two movies to me are the great ghost movies of the 80s. You know, they have that great 80s look and vibe and feel. And as with the entity, that nonsense of, men are evil and we don't trust you and we have to build this in the gymnasium. We have the green glowing guy with purple flames, which obviously must have been true now.
One thing we didn't talk about is the score, and I'm obsessed with the score of this film.
Weird. So I didn't really
music,
notice it.
It was the music that showed up whenever the entity was present.
Oh, yes.
That super intense, like, pulsating. Yeah, yeah. That was really awesome. I did enjoy that.
I do remember that, yeah.
I'll throw out credit. Let's see here. Charles Bernstein.
Oh, yeah, Charles Bernstein, yes.
That sounds familiar.
What else did he do?
White Lightning with Burt Reynolds, and I believe also Foul Play with Chevy Chase are the two movies that come to mind.
He did a fantastic job.
But no, that was it. I think added to
the intensity terror,
of
those
things. Mm-hmm. They already edited well, shot well, but yeah, again, why I love this movie is, to me, the sound is so important.
Oh, 100%.
In a lot of movies nowadays, they don't treat the sound that important. Whereas this is just so just in your face, and at that time, very different. You know, you're used to a certain aesthetic at that time, filmmaking wise, and then boom, just boom, you're getting raped in your seat practically.
Oh, yeah. No, and it's like for a very quiet film for the most part, those scenes it just like amped it up so much that I loved it. So last question here. At the end of the film, they say that the family moved to Texas. Do we think that the actual Doris and her family moved to Texas?
I would say maybe not to Texas, but probably moved. And I would definitely agree that these events probably have continued to some degree.
So pretty much, yeah. So you nailed it. They actually did move to Texas, though. They moved first to San Bernardino, then to Texas, then back to San Bernardino. And yes, Doris Bither actually died in 1999 due to cardiac failure.
Oh, I didn't know she actually passed.
Yeah, unfortunately. So she's no longer with us, but she did claim that the attacks, while they did, you know, they weren't as severe as they were during the time frame in the 70s that they happened until her death. So now that we know the true and the falseness of this film, we can go ahead and give it a rating.
I think overall, on a scale of 1 to 10...
Yeah, it's a rough one.
I think I would say it's about a 5. That's what's kind of a bullshit answer. I'm going to do 5 out of 10.
Of truthness?
Of truthness.
Yeah, 5's good. I agree with 5.
It's like, because I feel very 50-50 about it. So
I'd give it a 6 just because the book scene, very true.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And sure.
That is, and like arguably that's so ridiculous. Yeah.
I'm not going to change. So Brooks,
be such a, like you said, such a obviously scripted scenario.
But it was real. True. Yeah.
And then just because a lot of, you have to tame down her real story and maybe then embellish some of it. So I'd give it I'd say 6. It's not quite a standard. They took some liberties each way, so I give it a little nudge above for truth and honesty. Yeah.
6 is good.
You're gonna go 6?
I always change my mind, and I feel like
no pressure.
It's gonna become a thing.
I feel 5 is a little bit generous. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like 5 is good. I'm gonna stick with 5.
You wanna do 5?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So an average of 5.2.
These ones
2.5.
Are weird because the supernatural stuff, it's like, you know,
how far?
I don't believe in supernatural, so to me, it's zero.
It's a 0, exactly. But the recorded true story. We'll go ahead with like history here, and what is documented. Right. So exactly. We'll be open minded.
And what is true is Bush.
Yeah,
it's not true.
Should we rate it overall, like what we thought about the movie?
Sure. Yeah.
Overall, I would give this movie probably about an 8.
Overall. It's a good answer.
Because, again, I will freely admit, anything from the 80s, I view with a certain nostalgic charm that I like. And I'll cut any slack. Like, I just watched Michael Crichton's Looker the other night. Very horrible movie, but very 80s and glorious in its 80s right.
So 80s, tend to have movies where, like, I watch this, and I probably won't watch it for another 10 years.
Oh, exactly.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So 8's a good number.
Yeah. And I think,
when something's a 10... You know, like Evil Dead to me is 10. I will watch it again.
10 is, 10 is something you're going to run out, you're going to buy, and you're going to watch, you're going to study, you're going to know every nook and cranny, talk about research. Entity to me is one of those movies, you need to say you saw it, because it's one of those definitely things. And then once you've seen it, you're like, okay, Ghost Rape, I'm good.
Ghost Rape.
And then after a while, you're like, for me, definitely for me, it's like 2 in the morning, I'm a little half stoned, like, I want to watch something crazy, cool. Entity, that's great. Ghost Rape.
Yeah, I mean, 8 sounds like I found it to be profoundly disturbing, way scarier than I
way
thought.
Way scarier.
Than
what you brought the stylishness of the movie.
It
was stylization
beautifully shot.
I was watching it while the 6-year-old next to me was playing games. And
Jesus
perfect.
Christ.
I literally, she would come up and ask me a question. I'd have to turn the computer away because I'm like, I don't know when there's going to be GR, you know? I don't know.
There's a GR happened GR. All the time.
It's nonstop. Mm-hmm. So to sum it up, GR, not good. Men suck.
According to the entity.
And Trisha has a bush.
Oh my God. You have to edit all this out.
And oh that's no, it's stuck.
No, I'll take the heat stuck. Off my manscape. It's all good. It's I stuck. Shave and trim the bush.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
This is gonna be an argument between us for sure.
I already. This is such an unfair argument. So Brooks, is there anything that you want to plug at the end of
anything
end
I want to plug? Yeah. Well, always got to plug the awesomeness here at Full Moon Features. Again, we go back to our Deadly 10 series. We're making 10 movies within the next year, and we're live streaming the entire filming of them all. We've shot The Ouija's, which is a stoned out version of Ghoulies. That's coming out October 21st. We've shot Necropolis Legion, which is a throwback rebooty to one of our old Empire classics, Necropolis. We're shooting Blade, The Iron Cross, yes. Jake's movie, next Tuesday. Ooh. That'll probably be out December or January.
I'm showing up on set, by the way.
Hey, you have an invite. Come on down. We could use a PA. And bring Trisha. We love Bush.
God, we can't get this out. It's just like in it.
No, I mean, I was trying to be a gentleman, so blame Jake.
Yeah.
He brought the beer, and you brought the rosé, so you're half to blame as well. Don't ever give me alcohol and bring up Bush. And besides that, we've got 7 more features coming. And so the website to go to is deadly10.com. It's free to watch, free to join. Just click and watch us make a movie. And we're doing it all year long. And then the movies will be on Amazon and our new streaming site, fullmoonfeatures.com. On all devices, all platforms, one channel, one experience.
Epic, dude. Epic.
And I am single and very interested in Trisha. Especially about this bush.
Oh, heavens to Betsy.
I gotta be a gentleman. Well, Brooks, it's the gold mic.
That was a good little. That was
a perfect ending. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you. This was my first podcast.
You did so well.
Broke my cherry. So thank you for handling it so well.
Oh, and thank you so much for listening to this, you guys. My apologies to everybody who's ever known me. We'll see you soon. Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye.